Couple instructions. One, we're going to have the kids come up forward. We're going to have a special message for the kids. And while they're doing that, how are you guys doing?
Good.
All right. You guys know knock-knock jokes? You know how the knock-knock jokes work?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you do? Okay. You start it.
Knock-knock.
Who's there? Ah, gotcha. Okay, I'll start it this time. Ready? Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Cows go.
Cows go where?
That's not how knock knock goes. Cows go who? No, silly. Cows don't go who? Cows go moo. Oh. This morning, what I want to talk to you guys about, I want to talk to you about welcoming people so that they feel loved. Do you know what it means to welcome somebody? No. Yeah, you're pointing at him. He said no, he doesn't know. Who knows what it means to welcome somebody? Yeah, go ahead.
Say welcome.
Say welcome. Okay. What do you do when you say welcome? What are you doing?
Using your voice.
Using your voice. Good. Yes, that's very, very true. What else does it mean to welcome somebody? Yeah.
To be friendly.
To be friendly. Good. Good. That's great. When you are welcomed, how do you feel when you're welcomed? Yeah.
Happy.
Happy. Good. All right, so we're going to practice. We're going to practice welcoming, okay? So I'm going to pretend, you guys are going to go knock, knock. We're going to pretend there's a door here, okay? And when you knock, and then I'll answer, okay? And we'll practice welcoming, okay? Ready? Go ahead. Go away! Go away! No one's home! Did that feel... What did you say? She's going to just barge her way in. Now, did that feel welcoming?
No.
No. Okay, well, let's try again.
Knock, knock.
Oh, it's you! Now, did that feel welcoming?
No.
I'm not doing a good job at it, am I? Okay, let's try one more time.
Knock, knock.
Oh, hi! Welcome! It's so good to see you guys! Did that feel better?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you feel welcomed? Did you feel like you're wanted, like you belong? I'm not a bad guy? No. Okay, so Christmas is coming up, right?
I know.
You know?
Me too.
Do you guys know what you want for Christmas?
Yes.
Oh, of course you do. Right? You want to give your mom and dad big hugs for Christmas, right?
Yeah.
I saw a few faces. But we're going to talk about something that happened during the first Christmas story, okay? The first time, and it's a welcome. An angel came to a door, and he said this. Let's put the slide up, if we will. He said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." That is how he welcomed. "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now, take a guess. Who do you think the angel is talking to? Yeah. Go ahead, take just a guess.
A sheep.
A sheep? You're close, but not quite. Yes.
God?
God. That was close too, but nope.
Mary.
Mary. The angel was talking to Mary. Who knows who Mary was? Yes.
A girl.
A what?
A girl.
A girl, yes.
Jesus' mother,
good. So an angel came to Mary, Jesus' mother, and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Does anybody know what it means to be highly favored? No? Yeah. Highly welcome, good.
Don't
you don't know?
Me and Anthony don't know.
Oh, yes.
We're too little to know.
You're too little to know? No. Because I'm going to tell you right now so that you'll know. And then you can't use that excuse ever again. To be highly favored means that you are treated extra special. To be highly favored means that someone really, really likes you a lot. They favor you. Does that make sense? You are highly favored. You are really liked. You are really wanted. You are really special to them. Okay? Do you know anybody like that who feels that way about you? You don't know anybody who feels that way about you? Yes. Your mom and dad. Oh, she snuck that in there at the very last minute there. Good.
Brother.
Your brother. Oh, that's good.
My brother.
Oh, listen to you guys. If only my sons were like that. Yeah.
Whole family.
Your whole family.
What about my aunts and uncles?
Your aunts and uncles? Good.
My dad and my aunt.
Your dad and your aunt. Okay, that's enough. We got to keep moving. Okay, one more.
Myself.
Yourself. You highly favor yourself. Okay, that's good. Now, do you think when the angel said this to Mary, do you think she felt special? When an angel said to her, greetings, you're highly favored, do you think she felt special? Yeah.
If she knew what it was.
If she knew who it was. That's a good question. Maybe she didn't know who it was. Maybe it was just someone who was a stranger saying something like that. That would have been interesting, confusing. What else did the angel say besides telling her that she was highly favored? What else did the angel say?
The Lord is with you.
The Lord is with you. That's special too. That's why she's highly favored, because God is with you. It's very, very exciting to know that God is with us. Yes?
God's with every single person.
God's with every single person in the galaxy. Yeah. But that's good news, because when we have God with us, that means we have God's protection, and we have God's strength, and we have God's help. We have all those things from God. We've got God's love and joy. Yes, I see that muscle. So what I want us to do is practice this verse together, okay? So we're going to all read this verse together. Ready? One, two, three. Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. That was okay, but we can do it with vigor. We can do it with excitement. We can do it louder. Ready? Let's do it loud. Ready? One, two, three. Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Good job. Now, do you think that you'll be able to greet other people this week so that they feel like they're special to you? Do you think you'd be able to do that? Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
If they feel special to you.
But see, you can make them feel special by the way you greet them. So when you see your friends, you can show all the excitement. Oh, it's so good to see you.
What if they don't like you?
Well, maybe if you treat them special, they'll start liking you. Maybe. You never know. Yes?
What if no one ever comes to your house?
Well, then you'll have to go to them. You see them at school, don't you?
No, because they're grown-ups.
What?
What if they're grown-ups?
What if they're grown-ups?
And they don't go to school.
Well, focus on the ones you can greet, not the ones you can't greet. Focus on the ones you see, okay? So that's what I want you to do this week. I want you to help people feel special, because they are special, because they're loved by God and God is with us. So you can help them feel that way by the way you greet them, by the way you say, hello, it's so good to see you. You are my friend. I'm so excited to be here. Can you do that? Yeah. Can you do that? Yeah. Can you do that?
What if they're not like that?
What if they're not your friend? Well, then make them your friend. All right. Can you all do that? Yes. All right, good. We are going to now have our Advent candle lighting. So I'd like to invite the Hoppe family to come up. We do our Advent candles because Advent means coming. And every Sunday we're going to prepare ourselves for the coming of Jesus at Christmas. And so we light a candle for each Sunday.
Every year we light candles as we prepare for the coming of Christ. More and more candles, more and more light. As we watch and wait for Jesus, the light of the world, receive God's message of hope from Luke 1.
God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.
Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High.
How can this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born shall be called the Son of God.
I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her.
As we light these candles, may the God of promise fill us with wonder and amazement, and may we say yes to his coming in our lives.
Thank you, guys. All right, we are now going to dismiss you guys to go to your Sunday school class. So Miss Amy's back there waiting for you to take your guys to the class. And as they go, we're going to prepare ourselves to pray. They were a tough crowd. As we prepare to pray, I need to share with you, as many of you know, Peter's wife Paula was 3 months pregnant. She found out she lost her baby this week, which is why they're not with us. They have taken some time off to get away and recover together. So we want to remember them as we pray for them. Let's pray. Dear Lord, our great Emmanuel, whose presence is with us, whose presence is in every one of us who believe, we come before you with awe, with this sense of incredulity of what we get to do, to come before the God of the universe and offer up both our praise and our confessions and our needs and have you listen and have you move and have you act. So I give you thanks for this opportunity. I give you thanks for this time. I give you thanks that we get to pray. So, I give you a moment just to collect yourself, to think about what this is we are doing in this moment, coming before God in prayer. And just on your own, take a moment and offer up your own praise to God, your own thanks to God. And if there is something in your life you need to confess to God, trust in his forgiveness. Embrace it and confess it. Take a moment now to do that. And God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the ways in which you have changed our lives. We give you thanks for the ways in which you have forgiven our past. We give you thanks that we can look forward with excitement, with hope, because we know that we're going forward with you. We give you thanks for the ways in which you have been moving in our lives, the ways in which you have protected us, the ways in which you have provided for us, the ways in which you have surrounded us with support and encouragement, with family and love, for the ways in which you are working and moving in the people around us, in our family, in our neighbors, in our community. And we want to lift up our concerns to you, our needs and our prayers to you. We think of Paola right now and the sadness and the grief that she is experiencing in losing a baby. It's heartbreaking. It's not explainable. We only trust in you and your presence. And I ask that you will allow them to strongly feel your presence right now at this moment even. Supporting them, grieving with them, slowly restoring them, healing piece by piece the pain. And Lord, for others here with us this morning, others that we know who may also be experiencing some type of grief today, some type of sadness, some sense of loss, I lift up the same prayer that you are present, making yourself known, being a support, holding them up when they can't hold themselves up. And as we prepare ourselves for the coming of Christmas, may we not lose your presence, your involvement, your presence in our life in the midst of all the Christmas hoopla. And more may we get excited, not about the celebration, but excited about what it all means. Help us remember what it all means, God with us. Help us to carry that with us each and every day. You're with us. You're with me now, in this moment, in this situation, you're with me. And draw strength from that, draw hope from that, draw courage from that, draw joy from that. And Lord, I pray for our community of Pittsburgh. I pray for all the families out there who are celebrating Christmas as a holiday, but without your presence in their lives. May you be working in this community. May you be moving. May you be making your presence real and known to people who don't know you. Shine your light into their hearts, into their homes. Create a curiosity, create a desire, create a hunger to find out if you're real or not. I pray that you'll be moving and working, drawing people to yourself so that they can experience this salvation that you offer, this new life that you promise. And may we be lights this season. May our own life be a light to others. May we as a church be a lighthouse and be a place where people can come and experience you and be a place where we leave from and share you. And may we see a revival, a renewal, a movement of people coming and accepting you as their Lord and Savior. For every need that is in this room, for every heart's desire that is in this room, I pray that you are moving and that you are working to answer prayers. May we see your movement. May we see your work. May we see you and your power and your glory and just be filled with awe and give you all the thanks. Pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Last week, you might have noticed I wasn't here. I was preaching back at the San Andreas Covenant Church where I was the transition pastor before coming here. They had actually invited me to come back and preach before I started here, so I was already scheduled. But I was back there, and I will just tell you that I hope will be notes of hope and excitement for you. Is while I was there, you know, we as a church, we prayed for a couple things. One, we prayed for the community. We prayed for salvation in the community. We prayed that God would move in the community and that there would be revival. And that God would use that church to bring the good news to people. And we'd see that revival. We prayed for the next pastor and that God would be preparing that next pastor for the church. And even though that pastor didn't know that they were going to be the pastor of the church, that God was already preparing them. We prayed for those things. When I was there last week, and I got in front of, you know, got up in front of everybody, I realized those prayers were answered in multiple ways, in just unbelievable ways. So when I left that church, the church was about 130, had an attendance of about 130, which was up about 30 people from when I had started previous to that. So nice growth, that kind of thing. Today, or last Sunday when I was there, they're pushing 250. 5 months. 5 months. That's God answering prayers. So I share that to tell you, pray. Pray, because you know it wasn't about me, it was about prayer. So be praying and believing God has great, great things planned for this church, in this place, for this community. And I have no doubt about that. All right? So now we're going to get to the message. How many of you guys have your Christmas decorations already up? Right? How many of you just say, bah, humbug, Christmas decorations are a waste of time? You wouldn't raise your hand. Oh, yeah, okay. One was daring enough to raise their hand. Thank you, Dominique. All right. So I'm working on her name because I keep calling her Chantel, and she doesn't like that. We have all our Christmas decorations up, and when I say all our Christmas decorations up, it kind of looks like Santa Claus's workshop exploded inside of my house. I think we have more, we have lights on up outside the house, you know, a nice tasteful display outside the house, and then twice as many lights inside the house. We probably have more Christmas lights inside the house than we do outside the house. That's just the way my wife was wired. She loves the Christmas season and decorating the Christmas season. Because my mom came for Thanksgiving, was here for Thanksgiving, my wife decided she wanted to get all the Christmas decorations up before my mom came, because usually, you know, it's, you know, the day after Thanksgiving is Christmas goes up, but she didn't want to do that while my mom was here, so we had Thanksgiving dinner under the Christmas tree. Just saying, something sounds wrong about that, but at the same time, something sounds, you know, right about that, because we're thankful for the coming of Christ. So Christmas can be a crazy time, right? And it's good. It's good to celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Christmas because Christmas was a life-changing event. Jesus coming to earth was a life-changing event. That's something to be celebrated. But the modern Christmas season is life-changing in all the wrong ways sometimes. It can be crazy-making. It can be weight-gaining. It can be debt building. It can be traffic congesting, sleep depriving, and guilt inducing. It's life changing in all the wrong ways. The Christmas crush can crush our Christmas, right? The whole crush of Christmas can literally crush our Christmas. There was a woman who was in a mall with her little 3-year-old son, big, you know, crowded mall, you know, Christmas season shopping, all that kind of stuff, and somehow her 3-year-old son managed to slip away. And you can imagine how panicked mom was, you know, where is he? But thankfully, she was able to quickly find him. He had his nose pressed up against the store display window where there was this nice nativity scene. And the mom came rushing up to him, and her son saw her and was real excited. He goes, Mom, look, it's the baby Jesus. And the mom, frazzled from the shopping and looking for him, grabbed his hand, yanked him away, and said, "We don't have time for that." And that's exactly the problem. We get so busy with all the Christmas stuff that we don't have time for Jesus. And I don't want that to happen. For our sanity, for our physical, our mental, our spiritual health, we need to take steps to make sure that doesn't happen. Take steps to make sure that our Christmas season is life-changing in all the right ways so that we can be overwhelmed by the glory of God rather than overwhelmed by our to-do list. Know what I'm talking about? Where we can rediscover the joy of Christmas and let go of the pressure of Christmas. Where we can shake off the depression and replace it with the wonder of God being with us. Where we can find courage in the realization that God keeps His promises. Where we can find hope in the fact that miracles really do happen. We can so easily lose track of these things in the Christmas crush, in the tsunami that Christmas can be. So let's not let that happen. We're going to turn to the Christmas story and learn some lessons that can make sure we turn this season from a crazy-making season into a life-changing one. It'll be from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38, the very verses we just heard read as we lit the candles. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Now, it's very likely that Mary was still a teenager, maybe only 16 when this happened. But she had caught the eye of a local boy, a carpenter. He was a good man. He was reliable, the strong, silent type. He had excellent character, impeccable integrity, and he was committed to serving God. Mary counted her blessings that she was engaged to a man like this. And so her life was filled with excitement, with giggles and dreams and wedding preparations. There's the, you know, dress to make, deciding who the guests are going to be, practicing, signing her new name, you know, all those kinds of things. You can imagine that. You can see it. You can picture what all that was like, the excitement, the anticipation. Then everything gets turned upside down. Everything gets messed up. Something happened that was totally unexpected. Not in your wildest, wildest imagination could you ever prepare for this. Out of the blue, there's a knock on the door. And then all of a sudden, "Mary! Mary, where are you? Mary, there is a very large, imposing man at the door. I've never seen him before. He's not from around here. He wants to talk to you. Won't say what he wants. Just to talk to you. I was going to send him away, but somehow I just couldn't do it. You go send him away." So Mary goes to the door, and here's this very large, imposing man standing there, and he speaks to her as if he's an emissary from a king. "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now, I can promise you, I can guarantee you that Mary has never, ever in her life been greeted like this. One, because she's a woman. And back then, women, sorry, they're second class. Women never got greeted this way. Second, she was a common woman. She was just a teenager. She had no status. She had no wealth. She had no privilege. Nothing special about her. She was just a common, poor teenager. And third, she was from Nazareth. And Nazareth was known for being literally good for nothing. What the people from all the other towns said about Nazareth is, can anything good come from Nazareth? So there's no way in the world Mary has ever been greeted like this before. She's never been greeted like royalty before. So understandably, she's a bit shocked. She's even frightened. This is like too much, just coming out of the blue like this. Who is this guy? What's he up to? What's his game? And she's not even sure she wants to know. Now, we already know the man is not actually a man. The man is an angel. Not just any angel. He is the angel Gabriel. In the Bible, only two angels are ever named, Gabriel and Michael. So they are the two most important angels. And whenever they are named, they're being named to be sent off on some of God's most important missions. So this is now who is standing at the door, the angel Gabriel. He literally is an emissary of the king. And he does not give Mary a chance to slam the door and run away. Quickly, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And then he starts sharing things with her that are literally unbelievable. They are mind-boggling. They are crazy. You have found favor with God. Okay. That's good. You're going to have a baby. Excuse me? What was that again? He's going to be called the Son of the Most High. What? Are you talking about? He will take over the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over Israel. His kingdom will be eternal. Am I on candid camera? Are you sure you're in the right place? Did you take a wrong turn off the sanity bridge? I am Mary. Mary the teenager. Mary from Nazareth. Mary who's never been married? How can this be? And Gabriel then goes on to explain how this will be. But I'm not sure it was very helpful to Mary, because what he said was just as crazy, maybe crazier than the other stuff. In that moment, everything changed. In that moment, life for her changed. She had been this teenager preparing for a wedding, dreaming of married life with a wonderful man, living happily ever after. And now this, everything's turned upside down. The life of her dreams is being endangered. If she went down this road, she knew things were going to be different. She just didn't know how they were going to be different because, well, Gabriel didn't give a lot of details. He gave just enough details to make your head spin. Pregnant. Well, that would do it all by itself. But no, pregnant. Son of God. David's throne. Holy One. What in the world? She could have said, sorry. Wrong Mary. You probably were looking for the Mary in the big city down the road down there. She could have said, I can't do this. My life is planned. I'm about to be married. I'm about to start this whole new wonderful life. I can't mess that up. So no. No, I can't do it. I won't do it for something that sounds, well, crazy. She could have said those things, but we know she didn't say those things. She spoke what I think are some of the most life-changing words you will find in the Bible. If we can say these words and mean them, it'll be life-changing for us. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. I take back everything I just said about Mary. She was just no common woman. She was no giggly teenager. This was no disadvantaged little girl from the slums of Nazareth. This is a woman who had off-the-chart faith. This was a woman who had unbelievable courage. This is a woman who is ready to fearlessly embrace a God-sized life. She is stepping out into she doesn't know exactly what. She's put herself into God's hands. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. All it took was one peasant girl to say, I am the Lord's servant. Do with me as you wish. And God took over and did the rest, because nothing is impossible with God. So let me ask you this. Are you facing any topsy-turvy situations right now? Are you facing any situations where literally you think everything could change in a moment? Facing a situation where your plans, you feel like your plans, your dreams are being endangered? That's the real story of Christmas. That's the way it felt the first Christmas. Everything turned upside down. Everything endangered. Everything scary. So what can we learn about this? What can we learn from this to apply to our own lives, to our Christmas season, so that we don't allow the Christmas season to crush our Christmas? So take your bulletin notes out. It's your chance to fill in blanks. Number one, on being a person of faith and courage who says yes to God, number one is develop your character. Develop your character. Mary may have been young, but she was ready. Maybe she was younger, in fact, she was younger than most of us here, but she was more mature than some of us here. When God called, she was ready. Or think about this, maybe because she was ready, God called. So what are you doing to be ready? What are you doing to allow God to develop your character? What are you doing to allow Him to fill your life up with His life? Because the message of Christmas is that God is with us. God is present with you. You are highly favored. So what are you doing to take full advantage of the fact that God is with you? Now, there's no secrets. Literally no secrets about the tools God uses to build our character and fill us. It's stuff I've already talked about, stuff I will always talk about over and over again. The tools God uses to fill us, Bible study, His Word, prayer, daily time with God, fellowship, getting together with one another, not just on Sundays. This is great. To get together on Sundays is powerful. We learn, we get encouraged, we get charged up, but then we go through the week and, you know, we get uncharged. To get together again during the week with another, with a group of believers, to get recharged, to be encouraged, to be supported, to study God's Word together. It's powerful. These are the tools God uses to build us up. But here's what happens. We get busy, right? We get busy and we get worried and then we get distracted by our busyness and worry and we don't allow God to build our character. So when God knocks, we're not ready. Not ready to say, I am the Lord's servant. We haven't built our character. But we can rectify that by doing number two, putting time with God first. And put a big circle around first. Putting time with God first. Back to Mary. Life was getting crazy for Mary. Here she is. She's pregnant, out of wedlock, in a small village. All right? A small village where everybody knows everybody else's business. And she's pregnant and out of wedlock. And it doesn't look good. She doesn't know what the love of her life is going to do, but it kind of looks like he's going to break it off. It doesn't look good. So what does Mary do? Mary takes off to take some time out. She gets away and she goes and visits her cousin Elizabeth, who has a miracle pregnancy of her own. And together, they get together, they support one another, they rejoice in what God is doing, they worship God together. She gets recharged. She puts time with God first. She gets away to spend time with God. Life gets crazy in December. I don't know if you noticed that, but life really gets crazy sometimes in December. There's a lot of demands on our time, so we need to be intentional about putting God first, because if we're not intentional, the Christmas wave will just wash us away. So we give time with God first, and then we do the other things. So if we don't have time for something, it won't be Jesus who's told, I'm sorry, I don't have time for that. It won't be Jesus who's told, I don't have room for you in my life right now. Come back after Christmas. We put Jesus first. We need to carve out time to put him first. So let me give you some suggestions on how to do this. Number one, simplify. Literally, simplify. You know, Christmas, what makes us busy at Christmas? Christmas cards, right? Sending out Christmas cards. Christmas baking. How many of you like to bake Christmas, you know, cookies and decorate Christmas cookies? We've, at my house, we've already baked, decorated, and eaten a whole batch of Christmas cookies. So we have, you know, parties to go to, gifts to give, and all these things are great things. All these things are celebrations. But if these things take up so much of our time that we don't have time for God, then we've got things mixed up. We put time with God first, and then we pick and choose about those other things. If we don't have time to send out Christmas cards, send out a New Year's letter. No one's life is going to be changed by your Christmas card, I'm sorry to tell you. If you don't have time to bake cookies, I would be better off with a few less cookies. I'm just saying. It's not the end of the world not to have cookies. If we don't can't go to every party, that's okay. And then there's gifts. And yes, of course, we want to give gifts to our family. We want to give gifts to our good friends. We want to shower our pastor with gifts. Of course. Had to say that. But avoid guilt giving. Do you know what guilt giving is? Guilt giving is when someone unexpectedly gives you a gift and you go, oh my gosh, I just got a gift from Joe and oh, now, and I don't have anything for Joe. So now you feel guilty. So you go run out to go find something. This is what chewing up all your time is. Now all of a sudden you're running out to go and find a gift for Joe because Joe, darn it, he gave me a gift. And now I got to give him a gift. You don't have to. Don't guilt give, all right? Put time with God first. Use a devotional every day. Find a daily devotional. Use it every day. Because that, I use a daily devotional every day. It's kind of some built-in structure. You have the notes in your bulletin. And I do this to build on structure so that you have something you can spend time with God with every day. You don't have to sit there, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to study. And so you don't do anything because you don't know what you're going to do. So use a daily devotional. And listen to Christmas hymns. Spend December listening to Christmas hymns, because as you do, you hear the message of Christmas, the good news of Christmas. You're flooding your life with this good news. It's just like the background of your life. You're kind of just, it sinks in, and it makes a difference. All right? So carve out time, put God first, develop your character, and then third, to be a person of faith and courage, be available. Either Mary or Joseph could have bailed out. They could have said, no way. And it would have been understandable. It would have been even expected. But God knew they wouldn't. God knew that they would trust him because God knew they were available. They trusted God. So as crazy and as unexpected and as unknown as life was going to become for them, God knew they would say yes. God didn't take any gambles. He knew they said yeah, they would say yes. He didn't say, oh, I'm going to pick Mary and Joseph and keep my fingers crossed that they're going to do it. They made themselves available to bring God's presence into the world. So make yourself available this month to be used by God to bring his presence to the world around you. That's the message of Christmas, that God became flesh and moved into our neighborhood, that God brought his presence to us. And for those of us who believe in him, God's presence is in us. And with God's presence in us, that means that wherever we go, we bring God's presence, right? Wherever we go, we bring God's presence. So be available this Christmas season, because who knows what God has planned for you. Mary had no idea what God had planned for her. Joseph had no idea what God had planned for him. Who knows what God has planned for you? What great, new, life-changing adventure God has for you. And it could come out of the blue. Totally unexpected. It could turn your world upside down. It could wreck all of your plans, and it will be worth it. Because it's God's adventure and God's plans. You never know. All it took was one person, one single peasant girl to say, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me as you have said. And it changed life on this planet forever. So if that's true for one person, imagine if all of you, if all of you said, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me as you have said. Imagine if we all said, we are the Lord's servant. We will do whatever you say. Man, if we do that, if we say that and mean it, then next year is going to be something I don't want to miss. Next year is going to be something incredible, even life-changing. So I want us to practice that. We are the Lord's servant. We will do whatever you say. So together we're going to say that out loud. One, two, three. We will do whatever you say. Now, if you can do that and mean it from your heart, it's going to change your life. It's going to change the lives of all of us. It's going to change our church. It will change our families. It will change our neighborhoods and our community. Let's pray. God, I want to come before you and ask that we will have this passion for you, this trust in you, that we can say, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me as you have said. That no matter what you are calling us to do, no matter what you're asking to do, no matter how crazy it might sound, how much it might upset our plans, that we are willing to say, I'm the Lord's servant. I will do it. And as we take that posture and that attitude as a church, as your body, may we see you move amongst us and move in us and move around us in such powerful ways that our lives will be changed forever. And the lives of the people we touch will also be changed forever because they have experienced your love and your power and your salvation. Amen.